Christian church, when we read the gospel, we stand up in honor of the Lord who comes to us through his word. So I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this Sunday is written in Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 9 to 14. And it's found on page 742, but you can also listen with your ears. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated, and I'm going to preach on the gospel that you've just heard. And as we prepare to hear that, let's pray for God's Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Lord God, thank you that you have promised to pour out your Holy Spirit on all people. Please pour out your Holy Spirit on me tonight as I proclaim your word, and on each of us as we hear it, so that our hearts and ears may be open. And especially pour out your Holy Spirit on Kerry and Mona as they continue in their journey of faith in their baptism today. Lord, bless my words and our hearing of them for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear friends, do you feel like you belong, or do you feel slightly out of place tonight? Do you feel like you know your way around, or perhaps do you feel unworthy and unsure of being here? I know that for people who are new to the church, it can be a really confronting and difficult experience to come to church for the first time. And people give all sorts of excuses as to why they wouldn't be able to go there. The roof might fall in. God won't be happy that I might be there. All sorts of disasters might happen. Generally, people can feel quite unsure, quite out of place, quite unworthy. On the other hand, there are many of us here tonight who feel like we know our way around. We belong in the church. We're good with God, and it's comfortable for us to be here. In the gospel reading that I just read out tonight. Jesus tells a story about two people who are in exactly this situation. One of them is fully comfortable with being in God's presence in worship, and one of them feels a lot like he doesn't belong. This is called the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, or the tribute collector, in Luke chapter 18. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't actually know many Pharisees. And those people who do work for the ATO, the Australian Taxation Office, are well-meaning public servants who are doing an important duty. So maybe we could look a little bit more closely at this and see what Jesus is actually getting at. The Pharisee is like a church leader. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were the religious and respectable people. They were the people who worked hard to keep the law of God. They were the people who were morally upright and who were involved in the temple worship. They belonged. They were good people. They knew their place with God. And that's what the Pharisee is like in this parable. The tribute collector, I've actually translated that slightly differently from tax collector. A tribute collector was a person who was employed by the Roman occupying forces to collect the tribute tax from the occupied territories of Palestine and Judea in the first century. This job was given to the highest bidder because the highest bidder was able to farm extra taxes from his own countrymen and women to make himself rich. This is a person who benefits at others' expense. And I think that perhaps a reasonable parallel for our modern culture would be a drug dealer. Someone who makes a profit at the expense of others. Someone who, in getting rich, is actually ruining other people's lives. Now, given that kind of background, let me read the parable again. Two men went up to church to pray. One a church leader, and the other a drug dealer. The church leader stood up and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that drug dealer. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." I guarantee you that most pastors of the church would be very happy if they could suddenly find 10 or 12 such individuals to help fill their pews and to raise their budgets. He's a good man. But, paraphrasing Jesus, but the drug dealer stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He sat in the back pew. He sunk his head down. He wouldn't look. And Jesus says, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Whether you are feeling comfortable and you know your way around tonight, or whether this is your first time in church for a long time, or maybe you've never been before, I've got both good news and bad news tonight. The bad news is that none of us are worthy to stand in God's presence. None of us, on our own goodness, are able to come to a holy God and say, "Yep, I've lived up to your standards, it's all good." However, there is also good news, so you don't have to look too glum, and we will get to that. The good news is that God welcomes everyone. That God doesn't have a particular set of standards for that morally upright and acceptable person whom he accepts and others that he rejects. No, God's arms of love are open for everyone. I shared this illustration with Mona and Kerry in preparation for their baptism. When God created human beings, he created people to be in a relationship of love with himself. But unfortunately, through our own sin, our own rebellion, our turning away from God, human beings have ended up with a great chasm between God and themselves. An unbridgeable gap. Something that we cannot cross on our own effort. And as I said to Mona and Kerry, many people have tried to cross this gap between God and humanity and to make things right and to get back to that relationship with God. Maybe, we think, if I get a good enough run-up and I get enough momentum in doing good works and walking and living in God's way, I can jump myself across that gap. As I said to Mona and Kerry, I've been to the Grand Canyon in the US. There are points at which that chasm in the earth is 5 miles wide and a mile deep. And the further out you jump, the deeper in you get. Because the harder we try to bridge that gap on our own, the more we are once again taking our eyes off God and turning them onto ourselves, like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. All of us deserve to die because we have walked away from God, who is the source of life. But God loves us so much that he will not let this circumstance continue. And in fact, he came to earth as a human being in the person of Jesus. And Jesus, although he never sinned, took our death on the cross, was planted firmly into the midst of our guilt and sin, and opened up the way for us to have the relationship with God that we were always meant to have. And so, when the tax collector or the drug dealer says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," he's recognizing that there's nothing that he can do on his own steam to get back to God. It all depends on God's mercy and his forgiveness. And that mercy and that forgiveness is offered to us freely because of what Jesus has done, his death on the cross and his resurrection. There's a verse in Romans where Paul says, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Perhaps the Pharisee, the church leader, thinks that he's only sinned a little bit and fallen a little bit short of the glory of God. No, there's no difference. All of us are in need of God's mercy. This verse goes on to say, "And are made right freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ." All have sinned. All are made right freely as a gift of God, and this gift is available to you and to me. I'm just as much in need of it as anybody else, I can assure you. And there was a time on my 4 weeks annual leave where I found myself on my knees sobbing out the words that the tax collector says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's not because of my goodness, but because of God's love and his mercy for us in Jesus, that chasm has been bridged. So, just back to the Pharisee and the tax collector, or the church leader and the drug dealer. The Pharisee, you really can't see those words, but he's on the case. He's going to try and bridge the gap to God all by himself on his own steam. And he says, "God, thanks that I'm not like other people. I'm a good person, especially compared to others." Do you know what he's done? He's put himself in the place of God. He has judged other human beings, something that belongs only to God. Maybe he's good on lots of other sins, but he's forgotten about the sin of pride. And we in the church can come up with some really creative ways of looking down on others and comparing ourselves to them and saying, "Well, compared to that person, I'm good, so God should accept me." On the other hand, the drug dealer, the tax collector, knows that he's got no hope. And he simply says, "God, have mercy on me, sinner." And Jesus says, it was this one who went home right with God. This one, Jesus says, went home with God's approval. The other one, no. Tonight, we have partly come to witness the baptism of Kerry and baptism of Mona. And baptism is a state of living in God's mercy. In the water of the font, God washes away sin, adopts Kerry and Mona and each of us who accept his mercy in that way as his children, pours out his Holy Spirit on us, forgives us our sins, and draws us into his embrace. When we are baptized, we're plunged into the mercy of God. The free gift of God's love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening tonight in just a few minutes for Kerry and for Mona. Mona was saying to me the other night when she came around for dinner, she said, "I wish I could have been baptized on my birthday because it seems like a really appropriate kind of time to get baptized." And I said, "Actually, in a way, it is your birthday. It's your birthday into God's family. And you get some gifts. You get presents. You get forgiveness. Life with God. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The privilege of being called daughters of God. Sisters of Christ." It's the same for each of us. Baptism is living in God's mercy. It's being plunged into his forgiveness and grace. Do you feel like you belong tonight? Do you feel like you are welcome? Whether or not you feel it, the good news is that through Jesus, you are welcome. God loves you. And his invitation into this life of forgiveness and grace is open for you. God loves you so much that he doesn't leave you alone in your sin, but he comes to you himself in the person of Jesus to forgive you and to draw you to himself and to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you can live, so that you can be right with God, reconciled, and live confidently in the mercy of God. God's arms are open. His invitation is for each one of us. There is no difference. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's mercy. And all of us, God offers that free rightness with him through Jesus. Thanks be to God for his great mercy for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.